thank everyone for coming. Next in our series, Pre-Chag HaSmicha Shiurim series. And thank Rabbi Khan for giving this very important shiur. Baruch Hashem, the whole series has been in order to give a flavor and a sense of how important our Mesorah is, what it means to be a Rav, why we're so excited about this upcoming Chag HaSmicha, where we can, Baruch Hashem, graduate another cadre of Rabbanim, to head out into communities, to learn Torah, to teach Torah. And these topics have all been arranged to give us a fundamental understanding of what are the underpinnings of being a Rav, of teaching Torah, and loving our Mesorah, and that's today's topic of the Khan. Again, I want to invite everyone to come on Sunday. There's a viewing in the Gluck Beis Medrash starting at 12 o'clock. There'll be a screen up. It's a tremendous, beautiful Kavod HaTorah. It's a beautiful thing to see. And even more exciting is the dancing that will happen at 2 o'clock afterwards. The street will be closed off on Amsterdam. It's very Labor Day, and everyone can come and join and help enhance the Simcha.
Whenever someone's asked to speak about a topic that is as wide-ranging and ambiguous as Masorah, which would require probably several hundred drushas and shiurim, so I get to pick and choose what particular nekuda I wanted to talk about. And my decision was more in line with something that one of my Talmidim suggested, and that is something that's positive about the Masorah. I mean, in other words, not what's wrong with us, but what's right about us. So I wanted to dwell upon this Nekuda, which is expressed in our davening every morning, in the Bracha, which ends Mekadesh Shmo Barabim, whatever your girsa is. And not everyone knows exactly where the bracha actually begins, but in the sections before that bracha of Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim, there's an expression, Ashreinu matov chelkenu manoyim goyrolenu u'ma yofa Yerusha Sein. And Beikar, I wanted to emphasize the ma yofa Yerusha Sein. A Yerusha, not normally described in those terms of yofa. Interesting that Toiv and Noyim and Yofer are of the Lishonos that Emes V'Yatziv has in it. They're not all the Lishonos, obviously, but Tov and Tov Chokenu, Noyim, Noyim Goralenu, and Yofer Yerushasenu, obviously they were chosen very deliberately. The Toiv has to do with Chelek, Noyim has to do with Goral, and Yofer has to do with Yerusha. What exactly does Yofa have to do with Yerusha is something that I would like to mention. We have Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Meirosha Kehilas Yaakov. Meirosha Kehilas Yaakov, Al Tikre Meirosha Ela Meirosa. It seems that Chazal, in a number of places, don't want us to dwell upon the fact that it is a Yerusha. And that is evident in the fact that Mipnei Ma Ein Beneim Shel Talmidei Chachomim, the Gemara, and a number of other places. Yerusha, you wake up in the morning and suddenly you're rich because that person's father died while he was sleeping. So now he is rich when the day before he might have been very poor. He did absolutely nothing to acquire it. And therefore, it is a kind of nama de kisufa sort of thing. When you don't work, you cannot acquire. Besides which, Torah doesn't work like that. Yagata umatzasa. So without the yegiya, there is nothing. And if it is yegiya, then where's the Yerusha? So al tikrei mayrosha le ma'ayrosa, erusin, of course, is a kinyan, and it is a constant thing. I'm not getting involved in whether the Kinyan Kedushin repeats itself over and over again. What I mean to say is that the avoda of marriage and the avoda of husband and wife does not end with that one moment under the chuppah. So similarly, the whole agenda of learning Torah is a constant effort to reacquaint ourselves, to renegotiate, to come to those kind of terms that somebody should be called a ben Torah, should be zoicha, ultimately to the Esther Shel Torah that the Rambam speaks about so thoroughly in the third parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah. So there's an attempt almost to avoid the concept of Yerusha. And here we say, Mayofa Yerusha Sein. I wanted to suggest that the idea of Yerusha could be divided in many different strands. Yerusha as far as Yira Shamayim, Yerusha as far as Torah itself, and Yerusha as far as being an Ummah, Yoda'as Es Hashem, as the Rambam describes it in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in the first parak. Kadosh Baruch Hu created us as a nation. He deliberately made us happen. Lakachas lo goy mikerav goy. But the seeds of that goy mikerav goy already began with Avraham Avinu, and that is what the Rambam is describing in the first of the halachas of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam is telling us that Avraham Avinu gathered around him, these are the Baalei Bris Avraham, Alofim Ravavos, and he was appointing Yitzchak, the Rosh Yeshiva, and he continued that task in Eretz Yisrael, and so too with Yaakov. And Yaakov, he says, gave over this entire Torah to his children, to all the Shvatim, but he did something exceptional. He appointed Levi as Rosh Yeshiva. And then the Rambam says that he commanded the Shvatim, the other brothers, that they should guarantee Levi and his descendants that there should be a Mamuna Acha Mamuna that should be Lo Yosur, that Rosh Yeshiva ship from Shevet Levi forever. What happened, of course, is that they entered into Mitzrayim and there they nearly disintegrated. In fact, the Rambam there says, Kimat Kot, almost, and that great agenda of the Ummah Yoda'as Es Hashem that Avraham Avinu began was completely dissolved and lost. And in fact, he adds, except for Shevet Levi, Umei Olam Lo Yavad Shevet Levi Avodah Zarah. Elsewhere in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, when he speaks about Gerus, the Rambam also mentions that Levi was mal their children, even though no one else was, in Mitzrayim. So there's something special about Shevet Levi, and what's special about Shevet Levi is also indicative of a concept of Yerusha. There's a Yerusha of being the one who's a Baal Achrayas for Torah, for Yiddishkeit, for Avodas Hashem. And this enters into the Shevet Levi idea subsequently, Yoiru Mishpatecha L'Yakov V'Sarasecha L'Yisrael. So because Shevet Levi is of course a genetic thing, it's a biological thing, Bein Achabein. So you have a concept of a Yerusha of being Rosh Yeshiva, of being responsible for the Torah. And even though obviously Torah is open to everyone, and it is not a Yerusha, so therefore you cannot have someone who is not from Shevet Levi excluded. And needless to say, you have Rabbi Akiva from Gerim, and Shmaya Vavtalion, and so on and so forth. And that very epic moment that is described in Maseches Yuma at the end of Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol is walking out, and everybody leaves the Kohen Gadol, abandons him in favor of Shmaya Vavtalion. So there's this notion of the descendants of Aaron who don't behave like Aaron, and those who are not descendants of Aaron, but who do behave like Aaron. The Torah is like that also. But Afal Pikein, that never denied the basic fundamental Yoru Mishpatecha L'Yaakov. So there's something very fascinating here, and I believe that instead of simply saying that things changed and Shevet Levi lost their particular and peculiar status, I would rather say that the idea became an abstraction, if you will. What I mean to say is this. The notion of Achrayus might have gone over to other Gedolei Yisrael and Gedolei Olam. But just the same, there is a Yerusha concept there. A person who's Baal Achrayus for the Torah is a person who has to guarantee the Torah for the next generation in the pristine and authentic shape and form with which he received it. That's a tremendous difference between that and somebody who's learning Torah. Everyone who's learning Torah has to teach his children and his grandchildren, Limatam, some is Bneichem. For Datal of Anecha, with Nevanecha, Yoimasha Matal, with Neashem, Lakecha, Bechorev. But Afal Pikain, his guarantee is that his children and children's children will have Torah. But he's not a Baal Achrayus for the rest of Klal Yisrael. The Gedolei Olam in all the generations have a different agenda, different responsibility. Maybe they were brought into this world for a different tachlis. And that tachlis is to guarantee for all of Klal Yisrael. And I think if somebody asks the question, how do you define Gedolim? That's a question that a lot of people are very nasty about sometimes. Like, who says that he's a Gadol, or, you know, what makes him my Gadol? I think those questions are rather useless. A Gadol is a person who's recognized by Klal Yisrael to be the person who's responsible for the Masara. That's why we go to him, no matter who we are, for Pesukim. That's why we identify him as the Gadol Hador. The term Gadol Hador doesn't necessarily mean so much in the time of the Gemara, but what we use it, but when we use it, we mean the Talmid Chacham who's the Baal Achrayus. It's very interesting, and everybody knows that the Rav Zichron Livrach used to speak about it many times. This is something that Brisk talks about in general, that the Rambam in his Hakdama points out, in the Hakdama to Mishneh Torah, he points out that there is a Mamuna Acha Mamuna, and then there is someone who is receiving Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu taught all of Klal Yisrael. He teaches Yoshua, teaches Pinchas. The Pinchas is not the Mekabel Masaira from Moshe Rabbeinu. No question that he learned the Torah and he knew the Torah, but he doesn't have the Achrayis. Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai Masaira Li Yoshua. The word Masaira and Masaira Li Yoshua, this is one and the same. There is not only a receiving of the Torah and the giving over of the Chefts of the Torah. There's the Baal Achrayis that is responsible to preserve and guarantee that the Chefts of the Torah that you receive is the Chefts of the Torah that you give over. Which also explains the word Mayrasha very perfectly. Because Mayrasha and Yerusha are two different worlds, even though the Shorish, of course, is exactly the same. Yud Reishit. The reason that we call something a Yerusha is because the one who receives it does not have any responsibility whatsoever to pass it on. And therefore he can do with it as he pleases, including to completely destroy it. If a person inherits a big sack full of gold coins, and 5 seconds later he takes it and throws it, bezuto shel yam v'bishluso shel nor, there's no one that could say boo. No one can have any time to stand. Masha'ein kein moirasha. Moirasha is something that is given over to you bedafka, so that you should be able to preserve it, that it should be given over to the next generation. That's the taich of moirasha. That's why we interpret moirasha as kind of like heritage, but it doesn't really capture the essence of it. It's a unique kind of Yerusha. It comes to you, passes through you, and then continues to the next generation, v'chein hola ad infinitum. In this binyan of a Baal Achrayus for the Masaira, there is also another element. That in that Achrayus, there is an Achrayus of Hashkafa, not just of text. In other words, the Achrayus is also to convey the Yesoides HaEmunah, the Tzadik BeEmunos HaYichya, the Al Shloisha Dvarim HaOlam Oimed, the whole Huha Ya'omer of the Pirkei Avos is encapsulated, it's introduced by Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai Masaira Li Yoshua. Because everything is Torah, everything is mitzvahs, everything is dinim. There's nothing in life that is Bein Adam LaMokom, Bein Adam LaChaver, Bein Adam LaAtzmai that is not Torah. So the Baal Achrayus of Torah has to make that clear to his generation. Both in terms of his own behavior, hu hayomer, that his being reflected that principle, as well as in terms of the teaching itself. And there's another corollary, and that is that our Yerusha the morasha that we are giving over to the next generation is unique in a very, very special way. A way that the Ramban, more than anyone else, was masbir, but really it lies even in the Lashon HaRambam, which many people might just pass right by as a melitza, as an expression, a figure of speech, in the 8th Perek of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. The Rambam asks the question, why is it that we believe in Toras Moshe? Very famous Rambam. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu lo yaminu lo mipnei oisa sha'asa. Oisa is yesh b'hem doifi. There's always the possibility that they are false, misleading. They're not positive proof. It could be an achiza seinayim, it could also be that other people can replicate it. Therefore, a Navi that comes up and makes an oisa moifes, just that alone proves nothing, and there's absolutely no guarantee that he's telling the truth. And therefore, if he denies the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, then you're not capable of ever proving his validity, because the only one that proved his validity demands that you should follow the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu himself. But how did Moshe Rabbeinu prove his validity? The answer is not by anything that he did in the name of Hashem, regardless of the Oisus and Oifsim, whether it was the Makas and Mitzrayim, or it was Kriyas Yamsuf, or the Mon, or anything else. So, Mipnei Mahem Inubo, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, called out, Moshe, Moshe, Lecha, Mor Lehem, Kach V'Kach. That was the moment of truth when HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares for everyone that Moshe is Emes V'Tayrosei Emes. And that, the Rambam says, is the pshat of Laman Yishmah Om B'Dabri Imoch V'Gam B'Choya Aminu La'olam. La'olam does not mean forever in the sense of time. It means in an absolute way, which therefore is forever. In other words, V'Gam B'Choya Aminu L'Gamri B'Emuna Shleima She'ein Bo Dofi. So the Rambam says, in that expression, when he's speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and by the way, just Derech Agav, he answers a very important question with his Mahalach. Everyone asks, when Moshe Rabbeinu appeared at the snare, the Rambam says to him, V'zelecha oski anoichi shlachticha, v'tziach ha'sam in Mitzrayim tavdun salukim alohor hazeh. So the question is, how could he provide an oath to Bnei Yisrael when they're in Mitzrayim about something, like promising them that they'll have this extraordinary panoramic pageant called Maimed Har Sinai? If they believe him about Maimed Har Sinai, they might as well believe him now. How can you give a promise about the future as proof for today? It's absurd. So the Rambam, there are many answers to this question. But the Rambam's answer is Eino Hanami. That's exactly what Hashem is telling him. In other words, if you want me to provide for them an oath, forget it. Because any oath that I will give them yet, until Maimed Har Sinai, has the possibility of being upended, has the possibility of being controverted. However, there will be such a moment, and you don't have to worry, because it will not be forever that they will be in doubt of you. Because when it comes to Maimed Har Sinai, Betziachas, Om in Mitzrayim, Tavdun es Elokim al Ha'or Hazeh, and then you will have the oisin that they need to hear. In that halacha, the Rambam says, we heard it with our own. He doesn't say be'einehem ra'u. He says be'einenu ra'inu. And this is a yesod in the concept of Marosha and in the achrayus of Gedolei Hador and the responsibility, for that matter, for every father to inculcate into his children. We are always at Har Sinai. We are always reliving the experience of Har Sinai. Torah comes together with the experience of Har Sinai. And anyone who divorces the two, then his Mirosha disintegrates in front of his eyes. You cannot learn Torah as a scientific book, that's for sure. You cannot learn Torah as Chochmas Adam Ba'alma. But you can also not learn Torah as Chochmas Elokim, which was given at some ancient time in history. It is a living, breathing entity to which we are privileged to receive. Now, of course, you'll ask the question, but biologically that's not possible. Historically, that's absurd. I mean, we are here, and Maimed has seen us thousands of years ago. So what exactly does it mean, Be'ineinu Ra'inu? So the answer, I believe, Lefi Pshutai, without getting involved that our neshamas were there, which of course is so, but without getting involved in any of those other explanations. If there's a concept called Amalamid as Ben Benoit Torah Ki Lukibla Mehar Sinai. There's a machloikis in the Pirushim based on Yushalmi. What does it, who is the Ki'ilu Kibla? The Talmud, the Enikel, the grandson, or the Zayda, the grandfather? Who is the Ki'ilu Kibla? It's always an Indian when you have pronouns. So who does the pronoun he received it from Har Sinai refer to? So the Teretz is, obviously it refers really to both. There's no contradiction. But the idea that when I'm Malamed Ben Bnei Torah, it has to be in such a way that they feel together that they are in the Maimer Har Sinai. When the Gemara in Brocha says, B'nogeh Sugya Balkari over there, that the Torah is given Be'ema B'yira B'reses U'B'ziyah, and that's how it has to be all the time, it isn't because of the quality of Torah alone. It's Chashivus. It's because you are always reliving and reenacting that moment. Kriyas HaTorah, the Torah says already, and many others, and the Rav Zichrono Livracha used to speak about it very often, is a reenactment of Maimed Har Sinai. The fact that the Baal Koreh has Mimino and Mismoiloi, that is because it's Al Yedei Sirsur. And the whole idea, you have Moshe Rabbeinu in between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, those three elements are reflected in what stands around the Sefer Torah by every Kriyas HaTorah. This notion was elaborated, as I started saying about 10 minutes ago, by the Ramban. But in those words, there is an obvious reference to that Lashon HaRambam, Be'ineinu Ra'inu V'lo Zar. The Ramban on Raki Shom Elucha Pen Tishkach Es HaDvarim Asher Ro Einecha. He's here B'miyoyit. First the Ramban says we have to perform the mitzvahs of the Torah, we have to keep the Torah. But after he tells us to do the mitzvahs, Chazar, Lizkor me'ayin bo'u elecha ha-mitzvahs. Shaloi tishochach maimed har-sinai mikol ha-dvorim asherohu shom einecho ha-koylois va-lapidim es kvoidoi ve-es godloi. U-dvorov asher shomato shom mitocho esh. V'todia kol ha-dvorim asherohu einecho b'maimed ha-nichbar ahu l'vonecho v'livnei vonecho ad olam. Before I continue, I have a kasha. There's a mitzvah of Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim. To tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Iker of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yitzias Hashem in Mitzrayim. Mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, mitzvah of Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the differences between them are legion and well known. But either way, whether it's Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, we emphasize that we are Zocher Mitzrayim every day, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Tzeichichem Eretz Mitzrayim. And of course, the Brocha Achroino, which reflects upon that, Shachris and Arvis, the Brocha of Emes V'yatziv, Emes V'amuna, is again about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim Galtonu, Beis Avodim B'diso. So we're Mekayim this mitzvah of Bayoim U'Balayla, Yimei Chayecha, Ko Yimei Chayecha. And of course, on Pesach, there's a special element, special nekuda, and a different mitzvah called Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim. Where is the Zechira and the Sipur of Maimed Har Sinai? So you'll tell me they're the Sheish Zechiras. Sheish Zechiras is in the back of the Siddur. What I mean to say is, where is it front row center in the same way that we established and reflect Yitzias Mitzrayim, front row center? Every day and one day especially. So you'll tell me Shavuos that we lay in the Maimed Har Sinai in the Torah? I don't think so. I would rather answer something that's much more homiletic on the one hand, but I think absolutely true just the same. It's how you learn the Torah. In other words, in the V'hoidatam l'vanecha v'livnei vanecha yoyim asher amadato l'fnei Hashem l'kecha b'chorev. It's remarkable. There's a mitzvah to remember the Torah, the text of the Torah, the words of Torah. Right? שקר טוב איך משנוס כאילו מסחי בנפש שנאמר הישום לכל שמה נפש חמיות ממש the same פוסק פן תשכח את הדברים. So they interpreted פן תשכח את הדברים אשר ראו עיניך as the words themselves. And then this פן תשכח את הדברים אשר ראו עיניך, the ancient lapidim, right, that the Ramban is talking about. So which is it? The answer is it's one and the same. Not that it's both. It's one and the same. The reason that it's impossible to forget and horrible to forget is because how could you forget Maimer HaSinai's Torah? In other words, the infusion of Maimer HaSinai in the Torah that you learn every single day changes the nature of the Torah and the concept of teaching Torah and receiving Torah. We are all at Maimer HaSinai over and over and over again. And that's why Pen Tishkach HaSadvarim can be together with remembering Maimer HaSinai that you're not allowed to forget Torah. And therefore, when the Ramban says that after telling us that we should keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, I would say the same thing about performing the mitzvahs as well. A person is in perpetual Yetzias Mitzrayim. A person is in perpetual Maimer HaSinai. And if a person is in perpetual Yetzias Mitzrayim, which I believe is the Parshat Shad of the Rambam in the seventh Perek of Hilchos Talmud Torah, but if you don't trust that interpretation, because it is a pshat in the Rambam doesn't say it outright, but the Baal HaTanya says it outright. Baal HaTanya says, B'chol dor v'dor. How does the Lashon go? Chayev Adam lir sasatzma kilu yotza mimitzrayim. Rambam says kilu yotza ata. The Rambam repeats the Lashon of the Gemara. B'chol dor v'dor. And b'chol dor v'dor could mean once a year, but in every generation. Forever. The Baal HaTanya comes along and he says b'chol dor v'dor u'b'chol yom v'yom chayev Adam lir sasatzma kilu yotza mimitzrayim. When you remember Mitzrayim once a year, the rest of the year is a different kind of year. When you remember Mitzrayim, not Mitzrayim, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, that they went out of Mitzrayim. I should say, Sicha, Leroy says, Atzmoy Kiliyotz Mitzrayim, a different kind of life. It's a life of total responsibility to Hashem because He just saved my life. He just saved me. He took me out of Shibud. You know, people have a very limited time frame for Hakaras HaTov. Some people it lasts for a day, a week, a month. If you really choshev, it lasts for a couple of years. My Rebbetzin and I guess we were happy with our shidduch. But we were happy with our shidduch. So for years and years, we used to send our shadchan on our anniversary a bouquet of flowers. Here, here. But we stopped eventually. It's the way it is, you know. You have X number of Eneklach, I don't know, you just feel you were married forever maybe, I don't know. But in any case, the bottom line is that even if you're conscious of Hakaras HaTov, it has this ability to wear off. But what if we felt that we were just married now, so to speak, if we just came out of Mitzrayim this minute, Chayv Adam Laharis Esatzma, Liris Esatzma, Kliyotza Ata Mishibut Mitzrayim, Zanandazach, it's already something else. It's a Hakaras HaTov of the moment, doesn't take much. But it's not just Hakaras HaTov, it's everything. Why am I alive? Why am I here? What is the goal? Where am I headed? So every day in a person's life becomes that aliyah from the Mentes Shari Tumah, wherever he's holding in the absurdities of the world. Every day is supposed to be measured by an aliyah, an incremental stage in the next stage to the next stage, higher and higher, further and further in our Avodas Hashem. It's a different kind of life. And there are many other aspects to it, including that we're all headed towards Eretz Yisrael, in a spiritual sense certainly, which the Ramban says is the place that you can be Oved as Hashem. You understand what I mean? The same thing is true if you feel that every Limud HaTorah and every day is a day of Maimed Har Sinai. It's a different kind of learning, it's a different concept, and therefore I believe, again, we don't want Dafka to use the word Yerusha, because Yerusha sounds like something from earlier. And it's not from earlier. It's Hayoyim. Asher Anoichi Mitzavcha Hayoyim. Loikid yutagma yeshana. It is today. So the Ramban says a little bit further. And that he says, You see, what's the pshat liyira oisai kol hayomim? Because if you are perpetually at Har Sinai, that level, miyitem v'hoyo levavam zeimayim kol hayomim, then levavam isimayim kol hayomim, because they're at Maimed Har Sinai. The same people who said, daber ato imonu v'nishmo v'yedav l'kim imonu pandomus, are people who reached such a madrega of yira that some Rishonim even interpret that the Gemara Daf Pei Ches in Shabbos that speaks about mikan moidor rabel oiraisa kofal emar kigiyus do not learn the Har Kigigis literally, but that it's an image. The Maimed Har Sinai itself made them so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so nasiv and nishma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it was impossible to do an Aveira. That's the Moida, that they were frozen because they can't do an Aveira. It's not Shayach. If you replicate that Maimed Har Sinai, then you can never do an Aveira. So the idea of Imkain Asu Atem Kochav Al Tishkuchu Oisai Vine Kodim Shiyaska Dibra Shenem Rusham Hizir B'mitzis Loisa Seshli Nishkach Dova Min Amayim Rahu Lo Nasirehu Mi Libeinu La'ola V'tziva B'mitzis Aseshin Odiya Bo L'chol Zareinu Midor L'dor Kol Ma Shehoyo Shom B'ri'iyo U'bishmiyo V'ato Eles B'mitzva Hazois G'doyla Miyoyt Shem hayu divrei atayro boyim eleinu mipi Moshe bilvad, af al pi shenuvu osoy nisamsa ba'oso sumovsim. He's going right into the Rambam Perek Ches, not necessarily attributing, because he feels that it's such an emes, that the emes is already embedded in the Torah. He doesn't feel a responsibility to mention that this is straight out of the Rambam. Im Yakum bi kibenu novi ocholim chalom vi tzavenu behefach min atayra v'nasa neleinu oisai my face yikonei sofik b'leva anoshi. I have something to add to this, by the way, in a moment. Av kishemagia eleinu atayra bi pi agvura lo ozneinu ve'eineinu horois ein shom emtsoi. There's no intermediary, there's no one, there's no human being here. Zocha from our killing that Navi, because he's a Navi Sheker. That's what he means, min hamisa al yadenu. We know that he's lying. We know that he's lying. Exactly what I told you from the Rambam. Our responsibility is to give over that idea to our children with such confidence, with such absoluteness, that they feel they were there themselves. So again, I ask the question even more. If that's the case, where is the specific moment in the year, in the day, a la Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim? The answer is wasn't necessary. Because you can't give over Torah itself in any other way. That's Masayra. That's really the basic yesod of Masayra. A reenactment of Maimer HaSinai in the Torah means Moshe Emes v'Sayrosa Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, Tzadik be'emunosa yichya. And then he says, Zeh she'om ha'shom v'gam b'cho yaminu l'olam, ki kishanati gam kin adobu l'boneinu, yeidu she'hoya adobu Emes b'lo sofi ki'ilu ra'uhu kol ha'doyres. Why? Ki lo'y no'id sheker l'boneinu, we could never have foisted a foible, a fable, a baba maisa, onto our very precious children. V'heim lo yistapku klal, they will not have any doubts. Ve'idusenu shenoyid lahem. Avol yaminu bevadei shiro'inu kolonu be'inenu v'chol ma shesiparnu lahem. V'inyan hazeh yavoy oid beparsha ki yokum v'kibucha, etc., etc. V'kvar hiskartiv shom beparshas b'chodesh hashlishi. Of course, he's referring to the Maimed Har Sinai itself in Parshas Yisro Yutes Chaf. I wanted to add something, and I think it's very important to be maisif. And I repeat, I have no agendas. I very rarely have agendas. Just not that kind of a person. But it's important to give over, that's a chelik of the Masai, to give over certain understandings that I have. When the Ramban said that we shouldn't put our trust in a false Navi, he didn't mean this particular Navi Sheker for Christianity, or that particular Navi Sheker for Islam, or any of the other religions. I think he means that in every door there's somebody going to get up and challenge Maimar HaSinai. There's somebody getting up and challenge the concept of Mitzvah HaTorah. There's someone who can get up and challenge the fact that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam that exists, or even if he exists, that he cares, and even if he cares that there's a chosen nation and the election of Klal Yisrael could be challenged, and on and on and on. That there's a Torah that commands us, that we have our fealty should be to the Torah. And this could come from any direction. It doesn't have to come from a Navi, a person who considers himself a prophet. If the meaning of Navi means Kayamar Hashem, this is what God said to me. It could be the same thing when a person feels that this is what my history says to me. This is what history says to me. This is what science says to me. This is what archaeology says to me. And this is what my logic says to me. And if there's so many religions, each one claiming the truth, why should I believe in any of them? Or if some scientific discovery puts a wrinkle in something and suddenly you get very frightened, so what is the Emes? In all of these instances, the Ramban is talking and addressing every one of these Nevi'ei Sheker. And in every one of these instances, the Ramban is saying, the way you give over to the next generation, and that certainly is a Rav's responsibility in every community that he goes to, some of whom are very far gone in their hasagas, and they have no shaykhus to Maimed Har Sinai for generations, and you have to renegotiate all of that and recreate all of that. It's a murderous task. And it would seem to me that the way it happens is that when you are so alive with that yesod, and everything you do reflects that yesod, including especially Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, as it comes out of the Torah and its responsibilities. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Sechiros, Hilchos Shin Mishpat, L'Rayv, the Isur of being Meramev Afilu Agoy, and so on and so forth. A person lives a life of Kiddush Hashem, and emblazoned on his personality, on his day-to-day activities, is that I belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I think that he can break through generations of distancing themselves from Maimed Har Sinai, almost bekavana, rooting it out, and bring back the hasaga of einenu ro, azneinu shamu, einenu ro, ro'inu v'lo yacheb, and that renewal, the return to Maimed Har Sinai is still possible, even bizman hazeh. I asked at the beginning, what time is it, by the way?
12:43.
We're still together here? Okay. The Rav used to ask that question after 4 hours. And then he had a great chush hashmiya, one of the best I've ever seen. But he was a mayudika actor. You never saw an actor like that, in the best sense of the word. For example, he made people think that he doesn't know that much. The Rav had an unbelievable zikaron. And it was a clarity. It wasn't just a zikaron, like I vaguely remember. Like it was like he saw it 5 minutes ago. But he wanted that. He never dwelt upon it. Never quoted things baal peh. Once in a while, he fell into the trap of quoting a Rambam baal peh. So he couldn't help himself. But lemaisa, was very careful. The reason for it was because he didn't want to create the distance between himself and the Talmidim, that they should think that their task of becoming Talmidei Chachamim is hopeless. Look what he knows. And I'll never get there, even if I learn 24 hours a day. So he was very careful not to do that. It was very impressive to watch him suppress that that feeling. It came to the sense of Masora every day, and I think that's not an exaggeration. I heard from Fazel in the name of Reb Chaim. And it wasn't because there's a mitzvah to say over who you heard it from. And especially if it's your own father, so that's you. So you have to say it every single time. But the Teretz is, the concept of a Rebbe, and the concept of a Rebbe in the essence of how you learn, not just what you know, but how you learn, how you develop a sugya, was something that was very important for him to give over. It was very critical that he should give it over. The idea of Ma Yofa Yerushaseinu. Ma Yofa Yerushaseinu. What is the word Yofa? My feeling is that it's bedoimet to the idea of Gilu Bira'ada. What I mean is this. Aesthetic perceptions usually are not encased in anxiety. They generally do not have a proper background, a backdrop of anxiety. Yofa is a word that resonates with calm, with peacefulness, with a darchei Noam idea. You could speak about Noam and Yofa. Be'ema be'yira be'reses be'zeya. It's hard to speak about Yofa. The word that you should have used is Noira, not Yofa. Noira, Maimad ha-noira hazeh. And the question is, if I'm giving over Torah and it's charged with that ema yira bereses b'ziyah moment, then how does a person breathe? Because in Maimad ha-Sinai, they didn't breathe. This is the question. So how do you see Yofa in Yerusha Seinu if the concept of that Yerusha is giving over from door to door the matzav, the moment of Maimir HaSinai? So the answer is the question. There are no kashas about this, because the Matana of Torah, the Nisinas HaTorah, Matan Torah, defies the normal human feelings and attributes and associations that we make. That is exactly what it means, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha v'gilu bira'ada. B'makom gila sham tehei ra'ada, but b'makom gila sham yesh ra'ada, and the reverse, b'makom ra'ada sham yesh gila. And I just want to finish with something that I've said already 100 times, I think, this year, and probably many of you have heard it. There's this incredible mashal that I keep repeating because I can't get it out of my system, to tell you the truth. It's just something that's, you know, it has its claws, it's in me. The Chafetz Chaim brings a mashal of the Gra. That's something. Vilna Gaon is not famous for his mashal, and the Chafetz Chaim is. But he brings a mashal from the Gra in the Sefer Sheim Olam. I think it's Perek Yutes, but I'm not to be held responsible for that. But it is one of the Sfarim of the Chafetz Chaim. And in that sefer, he speaks about the pasuk Sasa Nochi Alim Rasecha Kamotzei Shalol Rav. And I think that this zeroes in on something that is very relevant, kind of pulls together everything that we said until now today. He wants to know why bedavka the lashon of Sason. And by the way, I might add as a footnote that there are a number of other Sfarim in the name of the Gra explaining Sason versus Simcha, and they don't explain it this way. So the Dover Mechudosh, but it comes from the Chafetz Chaim, none other than the Chafetz Chaim. And in those circles, they had Masoiros from the Gra. It wasn't that far away. I mean, geographically. So the Chafetz Chaim says that the Gaon asked, what is the Lashon Dafka Sas Anochi, as opposed to Gila or Simcha or any of the other words of the Lashon Shel Simcha. And then he wants to know, what is Kimotzei Sholol Rav? So many have interpreted that we're not talking about Bris Mila, the Gemara Menachos, we're talking about Torah itself, the Pasha Pshat, Alim Rasecha, your words. So what is it about Torah? So many answer that the reason it's Kimotzei is because Yogata Umatzasa. It's never something that's just Al Yedei Yor Yegiyah. Even Moshe Rabbeinu tried as hard as he could, he was not able to, Achad Nosan La'akadosh Baruch Hu B'matana, and so it is for every person that learns. But he wants to know specifically the Lashon Sholo. What does it have to do with spoils of war? Sholo Rav. Kamotza Mitziya Bashuk. That's also Motza. Why Sholo Rav? So he gives a marshal that there was a king. Maybe I embellish it a little bit just, but not much. Anyhow, there's a king that was very desperate because he was losing one battle after another to the enemy who was about to conquer him. And the king had one recourse only, and that is to ask one of his great generals, who was a genius in warfare and planning, and he was retired. And he was not interested in coming back to the army. He had his fill. He wanted to be tachas gafno v'tachas teinoso, and it was impossible. You had to bribe him. So the king, who was desperate, said, you know what? I'll give you an incentive that you cannot deny me. And that is that on the first day after you win, I will give you the entire day. You and only you can go into the field of battle and gather all the spoils of war that you can manage. And which, of course, would have been plentiful because they had sacked and pillaged town after town and city after city on their way. They were still carrying the stuff with them. And there was much to be had. He would have been the richest man in the entire kingdom times 10. So inspired by this, enticed by this offer, he took the challenge, won the war. He's full of his bags and sacks and everything that containers L'Roiv, and he goes out from dawn to dusk. That's the time that he has, a full day. Min ha-boiker ad ha-erev. So he goes and he starts gathering and gathering, and he's filling up one sack and he's filling up another bag and he's filling up a third suitcase, and he's very, very happy. He's happy beyond happiness because he sees be'enov that he's going to become the richest person maybe in the whole world. This was before the internet. So he's going to become the richest person in the whole world. And when he is midday, he starts seeing shadows because kiyunotu tzlole erev. And suddenly it gets even darker and he looks out and he realizes something that suddenly makes him sad and depressed. That regardless of how much he has collected and how rich he has become, the thought of the infinite riches that are still available, still out there, which he'll never get to because it's an hour before the Shkia, suddenly makes him despondent. And when he comes back, he actually has a feeling of, there's a pit in his stomach. In his stomach, he feels uncomfortable, maybe even miserable, even though he's so extraordinarily wealthy. So how could that be? The Gaon says that Sason is a lashon of Simcha Sheyesh Achareha Tuga. You know what Tuga is? Tav Vav Gimel Hey? Yogam. Like Venus Yogam Va'anocha. Tuga. It is a joy that is mitigated, that it ends in the end with some sense of nostalgia, of feeling of sorrow, of feeling incomplete. Now the kasha that I have, of course, is what is the Gaon trying to say? And that the Chafetz Chaim explains. And then I have a kasha, who wants that kind of joy that ends up in some measure of sadness? Chafetz Chaim says when a person learns and learns and learns, even on the level of the Vilna Gaon, does not waste a second, can count the total number of minutes in an entire year of Bikul Torah, doesn't come to more than 2 hours. And such a person, you'd expect he'd be able to conquer the Kol HaTorah Kula, and in fact, he knows Kol HaTorah Kula. But Torah is Aruch HaMer, it's Mido Rechava Miniyah. And Torah has this infinite possibility which no human being can encompass. No matter how brilliant he is, no matter how devoted and dedicated he is, no matter how many years he has on this earth. It'll always be that at the time of Shkia, there'll be much more riches on the field than he is able to put into his pocket. And it will be a simcha she'esh acharei hatuvah. So the kash is, it's a wonderful mashal. But why should the person want to have that kind of agenda that ends with a tuga at the end, no matter what? I think the answer is very pashut, and this is exactly what Masorah is, exactly what Pentishka Chasador Masharoi Necho means, it is exactly what Vigili Bur'ada means, it is exactly what we mean by Yofa Yerusha Seinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given us a choice. Or maybe he gave us a choice, and we chose well. Because he offered it to the Umas HaOlam, and they decided not. Of course, there it says, Ma'iksivba lo'sirtzach lo'sinov. It's also, for them, that's also trying to achieve the impossible. That's the Amos. And no matter how hard they'll try, there's always going to be that failure at the end, that moment that you succumb to your taivas, to your needs, to your heritage. And finally, what happens is that the person says, I don't want any of this. It's just not worth it. Because in the end, I'm not going to make it. And Klal Yisrael had a different hasada. You know why? Because Hashem gave them the choice and they chose the right thing. Hashem says, you're finite. You are limited. You're here on earth. The malachim are unhappy that I gave the Torah to you. Very unhappy. Ma'alu yilud isha beinenu. But I gave you a Torah because it's only the Torah that allows you to touch the infinite. You have a choice. You cannot encompass the infinite because you are finite. And the finite cannot encompass the infinite. They can embrace the infinite. But when you embrace the infinite, you have that quality inside of you, which otherwise you would simply be remote and mundane and trivial and empty. Hayoim kan u'mochor bakever. What is the concept of Ava and Yira? The Rambam says, it's a very, very precise parallel. Shoshim is binding the mice of the, right? Drochvan, the Flemshim, the Yirmehem, Chachmos, the Shem, Erech, and Kates, etc. Miyadu, Mishabeyach, and Mephoyer, Misavitai, and Doiwa, Leidas, Hashem, Agodo. That's what David HaMelech says, Somo, Nafshi, Leilekir. So good. And what's Yira? When he's misbinding b'dvarim eilu atzum, he's mechashiv b'dvarim eilu atzum, says the Rambam. Miyaru nirta la'achorov, and he feels that he's a biryok tana shvela afelo medes v'deya kalim hukul v'neitim in deyas. Who wants to feel like that? Why should I feel like a bug? I'm serious. Why do I want to feel like a bug? I want to feel like a king, like a prince of the realm. Why do I want to feel like a bug? The next minute I'm running back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowing that I'm going to feel like a bug. Because I can't handle being next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivayachol. I can't encompass His greatness. And the greatness of Hashem makes me always feel like a bug. And that's Ava Yira, Ava Yira, Ava Yira. But the reason that it's such a gvaldika thing is because it's Ava. Ava Hashem. So I'm not a bug. I'm just nothing. I'm worthless. I'm useless. I'm temporal. I'm finite. So what's so great about that? I'd rather touch the infinite, even if I have to retreat. In Torah, you have the opportunity to have a connection to the infinite, even though in the end, you can never conquer it. And it's going to leave you with a feeling that Yosem Mimasha Karasi Kosit Kas. Yushami, the Gemara, that Medrash Rabbah, in Vayikra Rabbah, and elsewhere, Ashir Ashirim Rabbah, they're going to have to tell you, don't look at the entire Shas and get scared. Just take one daf at a time. Why do you have to tell a person that? The Teretz is because when you look at the whole of Shas, you're not just looking at a Shas. You're looking at Bavli, Rishami, Tosefta, Mechilta. You're looking at the Rambam. You're looking at the Ravid. You're looking at Shulchan Aruch. You're looking at all the Mefarshim and Nisei Kalim. You're looking at the Shach and the Gra and the Kivager. And you say to yourself, me? What am I? I am absolutely nothing. What do I have a Shaychus to any of this? And that's the incredible thing, why it's Mayofa Yerusha Seinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person something that is infinite to touch, that's unbelievably beautiful. There's a Gilu Bir'ada. The aim of the year and the rest is in the Ziyah, that has to be, because we are touching HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivayochel at Maimar HaSinai. It's as close as we will ever get. And we relive that experience in the Masorah that we give over, and if we give it over correctly, everybody has that sense of Eima, Yira, Resus, and Zia. And that bitafka makes it Mayofa Yerusha Seinu. That's why, in a certain sense, the lonely man of faith is also the happiest person on earth. The Rav stopped short of finishing the sentence. But I'm telling you that that's the way it is. Because the yearning and the knowledge, anyone who describes what you saw, you've seen it, may see it again this on the screen again this Sunday, Bezus Hashem, the Chag HaSmicha, the Rav's words and how he describes how when he's learning, first comes in Reb Chaim, and then finally, you know, Kiva Eger, and the Goyin, and the Rambam, and the Ravid, and then, you know, the Shach and the Taz, whatever, whichever ones he mentioned. This is a person who has an unbelievable joy. If you watch the Rav give shiur, you saw an unbelievable joy, an unbelievable excitement. There was a palpable excitement in the shiur. There was a palpable excitement that banished all kinds of hobgoblins, the worst matzavim of pain. I remember at the very beginning, I came to the Rav shiur very young, I was 16 or something like that. And to tell you the truth, the Rav was very terrifying in those days. It wasn't the worst of days, that was about 10 years before. But it was enough for a little kid. And I realized, and we were learning Maseches Yevamos, and I realized that this is not going to happen. I'm not that I don't understand what he's saying. I don't hear what he's saying. Because when you're scared out of your wits, and you're cringing that maybe he'll call on you and make you, you know, ashes and pork, you can't concentrate. You can't think. So I decided that I'm going to speak to him. I took my chances. I'll speak to him and tell him my problems. So the question was where. So the best place would have been Boston, that's for sure. Because there he was like a tata, you know, like a, you know. And the worst place was in Shear, in YU. In between was Moriah, which was not far from my house, in the west side, in the upper west side. He gave his Tuesday night shiur, very famous shiur, but a lot of Balabatim came. It was for Balabatim, and he was in a generally good spirits there, you know, with the Balabatim. Different kind of, he didn't feel the responsibility that they have to be his Talmidim, and that therefore he has to really shape them. You know, there was no West Point over there. Just, you know, it was a relatively calm moment. So I decided after the shiur I would try to find him. Baruch Hashem, at that moment, just happened that he was all alone, and I ran over and I said, could I speak to the Rebbe for a minute? Yes, what is it? Now the person would already have run for his life. But I was there, and I said, Rebbe, I'm getting an ulcer. Which the Rav completely misunderstood. He thought that I'm getting an ulcer, Rachmana Litzlan, and I can't come to shiur anymore. And I was amazed that he even knew that I wasn't this year, to be honest with you. But, so he says, so what? I also have an ulcer. What I'm trying to tell you is that he had ulcers, he had mysis, and he lost family members in 1 year. And I never saw a person sayroscha sha'ashuay like that. I mean, I never saw. There were many others, but I never saw it. Not like that. So he says, so what? So I said, no, Rebbe, that's not what I mean. So what do you mean? So far, I was batting 1,000. I said, Rebbe, I can't believe I ever said this. Rebbe, the Rebbe is giving me an ulcer. What do you mean? So I told him the whole story. Once I'm going for broke. You know, I'm young, I just came into the shiur, I'm scared out of my wits. And I can't learn anything at all, and it's just terrible. So you ever saw a smile on an Adam Gadol's face like that? You never saw. because he started processing the whole thing. There's this little, you know, little kid, this pitzel over here. It was just, you know, because I Aliyah Cotton, if something like that happened, and he had this huge smile. And then he says, so with a twinkle in his eye, I still see the twinkle. So what shall we do? He was already my ally. You know, we're going to figure something out together to solve the problem. His problem, but to solve the problem. So I said, well, if the Rebbe would not call on me for about 2 weeks, if he promised not to call on me, I think after that I would be all right. All right, it's a deal. That was it. But you see, you have to understand that kind of... The Rebbe used to talk a lot about the lonely man of faith and all kinds of other things and a lot of morbid things, you know, that you wouldn't hear, you know. Remember one of my chavrusas famously said, but Moshe Feinstein is a lonely man of faith. But the truth of the matter is, yes, it's just that he doesn't think in those categories or express himself in those categories. But the lonely man of faith is Lulei Sarascha Shashua, as about it. The lonely man of faith is Gilu Bira'ada. The lonely man of faith is Mayofa Yerusha Senu. And for our door and for us little people, with the challenge of the world as it is, I think it's kedai to remember the second half of the sentence just as much as the first. We are a minority of minorities, and we are in many ways unique and alone, and the aloneness makes for a loneliness. But Afalp Kain, it is a loneliness which is a result of a simcha sheyesh achareha tuga. It is sasam. It is sasam oichya limasecha kamotze sholo rov. It is our Masorah. And very interesting, I just want to tell you a gematria of my own to finish up. This phrase, Ashreinu matok chokeinu manoyim goralenu mayofa yushaseinu, is exactly the gematria, dor lidor yishabach masecha ugvurosecha yagidu. Ashekayach.